You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. You know what that means if it's Friday. We are talking about a Michigan football game and Michigan's first real big test. And I know a lot of people out there will say, how big of a test can it be? Washington lost to Montana. That doesn't mean squat when it comes to this game in the sense of Michigan's going to get everything it has coming towards them from a really hungry Washington team. Being that it's Friday, we're here with Mackey Award winning tight end, former Wolverines great, Jake Butt. Jake, thank you for joining as you have for either X's and O's or Lockdown Wolverines podcast on Friday. Really glad to have you, man.
Yeah, thanks, Isaiah. Happy to be here. And, we're celebrating. I think this is going to be the 10th, only the 10th night game in Michigan program history. So, I'll be in attendance. And there's just a certain energy about night games that I'm looking forward to. There's a buzz in the crowd. We started the season off 1-0, so you have that going on. And, I mean, this is a big game. You can say what you want about Washington last week, but that's a good program. They've had a lot of success in recent years. They have good ball players, so it should be a competitive game. And hopefully we can, secure another win tomorrow.
Now, one of the big concerns going into a game like this, of course, especially coming out of last year, because you saw Michigan looked really, really good in the season opener against Minnesota. Certainly there were some problem areas in that game that ended up kind of coming home to roost a bit more from week two forward. But obviously with Washington having lost, when you're a player in that locker room, how do you guard against overconfidence? Because to me, watching the game last year against Michigan State in week two, it really kind of felt like Michigan State was going to, based off of what happened the week before for both teams, Michigan State was just going to roll over. Spartans did no such thing. So obviously Washington has had this game circled on its calendar for quite some time. How do you guard against going out there and feeling like, you know what, we're so good, we got this? Because some of those, unlike you talked about last week, having that killer instinct, some of the Michigan teams we've seen since you left haven't necessarily had that killer instinct. So how do you guard against having that type of mentality going into a game like this?
Well, I mean, you guard against it because of the way things have been the past couple of years. If that would be the sign of an immature team that wouldn't have learned from their mistakes. And that's not the sense I get from being around the team last week. Just talking to different guys in the locker room, we're not ranked. We're not really respected. We did what we were supposed to do and what a good team was supposed to do last week. So if you're coming in cocky to this game, you're going to get your ass kicked. And this is not a Washington team, especially, they probably have a horrible, horrible taste in their mouth after what happened last week. This is their opportunity to make that right. So I think we're going to get their best bet this week. And another thing that gives me a little bit of confidence is the quarterback position, because next to the head coach, I think that's, your second biggest leader within the organization. And Cade McNamara, I think he is a leader. We continue to talk about it. He's just got a presence about him that settles the team, that gives you confidence. You can focus on your job knowing that the guy under center and commanding everybody is going to be ready and prepared. So I'm looking for him to have another poised game, a good, solid game, settle the offense, settle the entire team, and put up some points to get us a good win.
Now, obviously, regardless, Washington is a step up in talent compared to Western Michigan. Western Michigan probably no slouch, despite how much people have wanted to discredit that win. I understand it's a MAC team. Michigan did what it was supposed to do, which I think you can't take that, take away from them, because you look what happens in the situation with Washington, like last week when they played Montana. It should have been a similar result for the Huskies, and it wasn't. And so you can't take away from Michigan the fact that it did what it was supposed to do against a team that it was supposed to do it against, because Washington didn't hold up its end of that bargain when it played Montana. Additionally, considering it is a bigger step up in talent, Washington's got a really good pass defense in particular. It allowed 105 yards passing, above 50% passing from the Grizz. Makes me wonder when you're in an offense, and I know that you obviously you weren't the quarterback, but being someone in an offense going up against a tough pass defense, what's that like going from one game to the next, knowing that like, okay, we are able to do what we were able to do with this game kind of at will, but this next game, now we're going to face a tougher group of athletes. What's that like as a player when you go out into a game and you know that you're, you know, about to face higher talent?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the thing is it's the game of football, and, you know, you play to win the game each week, you celebrate that night, but by the next morning, you have to move on, you know, because it moves fast, and you don't want to waste time celebrating, especially when you're playing a team and a defense like Washington, and I think that's going to be the key to this game right now is a good defense can mitigate a lot of bad problems on offense, and I know Washington struggled offensively last week, but you know, going back to 2014, I think they have a streak where they haven't given up more than 35 points. It's going on 7 years now in a game. And in today's college football environment, you know, that's something that's very, very impressive. So, you know, they hang their hat on the defensive side of the ball, but they're a different team than last week. So you'd hope and expect, and I definitely believe that Michigan's preparing for the new defense. And we did some things well last week, but I don't think we really reached deep into our playbook either. I think we just imposed our will on a team like Western Michigan, whereas this week you're probably going to have to get a little bit more creative, especially with Ronnie Bell being out. You're going to have to find ways to scheme guys open. And then execute when those opportunities come. But again, I'm super encouraged by the way the offense came out last week, and we'll be looking for a little bit more this week.
Yeah, that's I think that is going to be probably the bigger challenge of the two. Well, really, I mean, there's three phases, of course, but looking at the two that everyone likes to look at, offense and defense, I feel like the big battle is going to be Michigan's offense versus Washington's defense. Keeping that in mind, Washington did give up some rushing yards to Montana. People are salivating when they see that there was 127 yards that the Grizzlies were able to accumulate. It wasn't like some kind of crazy numbers. They only averaged 3.7 yards per rush. If it's sack adjusted, it's I believe it's 144 yards they had gotten, nonetheless, obviously they're going to be ready for Michigan in the run game. But how confident are you that Michigan's going to be able to keep its momentum on that front, especially against a team that's probably going to do just about everything to stop the run this week?
Well, I'm definitely confident, especially just. You know, seeing the energy of the O-line and the way they communicated, being down on the sidelines last week, you know, is the unit gelling together? Are they five individuals or are they one unit? You know, and you see the guys coming off the sideline last week. They're taking off their helmets. There's steam rolling off their heads. It's hot. And they're immediately replaying the drive. Like, hey, did you see this out there? Like, yeah, the safety walked down on the line. We're expecting the D-line to slant then. You know, everybody's communicating, and that's a really encouraging sign of a unit that's working as one. And that's what you need to be a great unit. So, you know, and another great thing is we have two backs that really, they run hard. They're breaking through arm tackles, they're falling forward, and they're getting the extra yards. So, you know, again, this is a good defense, but I still think Michigan has the edge up here, and we'll hopefully go out there and show that tomorrow.
All right, we're going to continue talking about this big game, but before we do, I got to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Everyone that listens to this show on a regular basis knows how much I love Built Bar. Jake, you learned a little bit last week about how much I love Built Bar. For those who don't know, it is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is everything you want in a protein bar as well. It's high protein, low calorie, low carb. I often, because they are so delicious, can't help myself but eat two at a time, which is good in the sense that I tend to plan that and I use it as a meal replacement, and it's still both lower calorie and higher protein than your leading meal replacement bar out there. Peanut butter brownie is easily my favorite. I also love the almond coconut and the toffee almond, but they always have special flavors that are incredible. Go to built.com, put in promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off of your next order. Built.com, LOCKED15. All right, continuing with Jake Butt, the Mackey Award winning tight end from Michigan, of course. Jake, before I continue on, I should have said this off air. I'm going to say it here. What I thought was really cool this week when we had media availability, we had Joel Honigford. He's now a tight end, had been an offensive lineman for Michigan the first 3.5 years of his career, converted to tight end right before the season last year, dropped all that weight, now looks like a tight end. I asked him, what tight ends have you been watching in the NFL to kind of figure out, like, you know, who can I emulate? And while his first answer was Gronk, because who doesn't want to be Gronk, his second answer was you, which I thought was really, really cool.
Oh, it was definitely cool. I don't know if you knew what you were doing there, Isaiah, but I appreciate it because we got some good engagement on Twitter. And, you know, he brought up a point that, you know, hey, you know, Jake Butt, he's not Travis Kelce. He's not Darren Waller. He's not Evan Ingram. You know, I know myself. One thing that you know, some of the great coaches I've been around, is it's important to know yourself. But the game of football is so much more than being strong in the weight room. It's so much more than being able to run a fast 40-yard dash. There's so many variables that go into it. And to me, when I look at a game of football being played at a high level, it's almost like art. You get the play call in the huddle, and usually you have two or three play calls. Where, you know, you got to be locked into your assignment. Sometimes there's shifts, sometimes there's motions. There's a lot of things going on pre-snap. Then you look at the defense. How are they lined up? What's my plan based on how they're lined up? Okay, now we check the play. Now I have to flip my, you know, be so prepared and so locked in, I have to flip the switch immediately. And then there's a post-snap picture. So you think you're going to see something, but defenses change, defenses move. So you have to become a little bit reactive and be an athlete. And that's one thing I always, you know, would say to our tight end group back at the University of Michigan during my time here is, you know, you get your playbook and it says to run a corner route. You know, you push up 10 yards and then you break at a 45-degree angle to 25 yards. But that's being a football robot. That's not the way football works. That corner route can look 5 or 6 different ways depending on the defensive look. And if you want to win the route, then you have to understand that full concept. And it's really beautiful when everyone's gelling together and understands everyone's role because it helps you do your role a little bit better. So I'm glad I got a chance to drop that knowledge and connect with some fans on Twitter. But for sure, it's really, really cool to hear that, you know, guys are kind of looking back at my old tape and learning from the things I did right and learning from my mistakes and failures too.
Well, it certainly was a cool moment, I felt, and it's great to see that they're paying homage, those who are in that building now, to those who came before. But let's continue looking forward, because we do have that big game tomorrow night. The other side of the ball, you look at the Michigan defense versus the Washington offense. Washington's offense was an absolute disaster for the most part. Now, they were able to pass the ball, but not at a very efficient clip, nor was it really particularly productive. You did get 226 yards passing from Dylan Morris, who's a redshirt freshman. He did play last year, but he threw for a career high 46 times, completed 27 of them, threw 3 interceptions, no touchdowns through the air. The only touchdown that they got last week was a 1-yard rush from Dylan Morris, but was averaging 4.9 yards per attempt, but completing Every time he actually completed a pass, it was about 8.4 yards. Like I said, 226 yards. But the rushing game did not work at all for the Huskies. 65 sack-adjusted yards for Washington. Their offensive line was supposed to be a strength, but I don't have the number of sacks right in front of me. I think they got into the backfield, I think, three times. Montana did. Trying to find that here, but not a really good showing for, three times for 25 yards. Not a good showing for the Huskies. Definitely, they don't really have that feature back right now. They don't have a Miles Gaskin back there at this moment. If you're Michigan's defense, in your mind, Jake, you had a pretty good performance last week. You basically shut out Western Michigan outside of that first drive. But how do you replicate that performance against a team that obviously has its back against the wall? They're going to be really pressing. Do you just go all in to try to stop the pass? Do you try to continue to stop the run and make Dylan Morris beat you with his arm? And how much better do you feel about the pass defense for Michigan after having seen it last week compared to what it looked like last year?
Yeah, well, I think overall, you're not going to see, and you really don't want to have a defense that's reliant on, you know, one thing or the other. And I think you saw that last week was a good balanced defense where you were able to stop the run while still maintaining disciplined back-end defense in the passing game. So you're going to look for more of that. And, you know, you'd hope if Montana had that much success slowing down Washington that this defense should be able to, you know, replicate that. But one thing I'm looking for too, and I'm pretty encouraged about, is I don't think Michigan dove too deep into their playbook on the defensive side of the ball either last week. I thought it was pretty vanilla throughout the game. And again, they just kind of imposed their will and said, we're better than these guys. We don't need to send big blitz packages or, you know, try to disguise coverage too much. We're just going to line up and play ball and do what we do. So, you know, this week, it's obviously a tougher opponent, but, you know, maybe they reach into their bag and have a little bit more blitz package. But, you know, a guy like Aiden Hutchison with how much pressure they had in the backfield last week, you know, I'm looking to see him and the rest of the D-line and defense get after the quarterback a little bit and just get them flustered. And when you can get an offense on their heels, there's blood in the water. That's when you can attack them and kind of confirm what they're probably thinking. You know, Washington lost last week. They're probably wondering, are we who we thought we were? You know, are we as great as what we thought we were in camp? You know, Montana, obviously, that's a bad loss for them. So if you can come out and remind them that, yes, you guys aren't that good and we actually are better, I think you can really take a team's will early on. So I hope that's the mindset going in. And again, man, I just think this team's got showing a lot of really good leadership, you know, on both sides of the ball. And it feels like a new energy. So I'm really hoping that they can go out there and confirm that. This is a good game to go confirm that this week.
Now, obviously, you played on the offensive side of the ball in this game that I'm about to bring up here, but we have seen a Pac-12 team, although this particular team played pretty good before they arrived in Ann Arbor. But in 2016, you guys played Colorado, and you got Colorado's best shot right out the gates. It was 21-7 Colorado. It had the look of maybe being a look of an upset, but you guys stayed poised, right? Like the defense eventually clamped down against Cefalufo and that offense, and you eventually were able to get points on the board despite the best efforts of the name that comes to mind is Chidobe Awuzie. What was the mood on the sidelines for I guess the entire team, in the sense of you guys got punched in the mouth by a Pac-12 team that everyone thought that you guys were going to beat, but you were able to stay focused and be able to come back and take the win back. What was the mood like in that moment, or I guess when you're going through something like that? Because I definitely think Washington's going to try to do its best to score really early, to try to get on the board and confirm, hey, we aren't what we thought we were last week. We can do this against a really good team in a hostile environment.
Definitely. And you know, you look back to that team, a very mature team, a very senior heavy team, upperclassmen heavy team, very talented. So there was no panic going on. It was, you know, you're getting to the sideline, you're problem solving, like, guys, what are we, this is not the stuff that we went over. I remember, you know, early in the game, there was a nickel blitz off the slot, and the fullback was supposed to have him. And it's clear as day because you see the safety roll down and the safety standing right behind the nickel. Well, you're not going to have two guys guarding one, especially backed up in your own territory like we were. Clearly, that nickel's blitzing. And the fullback completely missed it. Wilton got blown up. They scooped and scored for a touchdown. You can feel the energy in the stadium like, oh, man, like, is this a – it's one of those is it a here-we-go-again moment? And then you look to the sideline. Is that what the team's thinking? We never thought that. It was, dude, we need to go out there and do what we do. We need to settle down and just – we're better than these dudes. You know, that thought never left our mind. So you're definitely going to see that same thing from Washington this week because they have to. They're going to have to come out and start fast, and they're going to have to try to put the pressure on us because otherwise I think Michigan should be able to dominate this game. But again, you know, we've touched on it plenty, but it's the leadership that's going to dictate that. If Washington does come out and throw a punch, how do we respond? And you got a little bit of that last week with Western. You know, they were hanging around a little bit early. You know, we're driving down in our territory. We get that big kickoff return, and then we have a false start, and we're back 5 yards, and we ended up only getting 3 points on that drive. That's, are you looking around? Are guys arguing and pointing fingers, or is everybody calm? Like, okay, that's not us. It's not going to happen again. And I think you saw that last week of guys like, hey, listen, that's a mistake. We get it, but we're not going to make the same mistake again. And, of course, you saw what happened throughout the rest of the game.
It's going to be really interesting to see what teams come out. And I think that Michigan is poised to not have the history of last year repeat itself. I was picking Michigan to beat Washington before Washington lost to Montana. I think that, honestly, the loss to Montana makes them a little scarier, as much as that might seem counterintuitive to most, because they will come out with their back against the wall. But let's talk about what we expect to happen here on the other side. Before we do, did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? I mean, the game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You are in total control. Stat Hero is daily fantasy sports the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. So go and play Stat Hero now. Change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you 300% match, and that's unheard of. So go to stathero.com/lockedon, stathero.com/lockedon. Before we continue and give our brief idea of what we think is going to happen in this game, Jake, I do want to mention, based off of my last question to you about Colorado and what you said about never feeling like you were going to lose, feeling like you were the better team the whole time. You know who else thought that in that game when you guys were down 21-7?
Who?
Tom Brady. Because I didn't realize early in that game I was standing next to Tom Brady, and which he's the only person I get kind of shell-shocked by. I mean, I've only seen him really then, but I saw him a couple, you know, at the signing of the Stars in 2016 as well. But, he was the quarterback, not to age myself, but when I first started at Michigan, a lot of people know I took 5 years off after my freshman year. But when I first started at Michigan, Tom Brady was the starting quarterback. So I always really looked up to him. And I found myself kneeling, taking pictures on the sidelines. And I stood up and I bumped into him. And I had a moment, and then I just kind of stayed there, right, and overheard him talking and whatever. And the only thing I remember him saying was someone else said that they were worried about it, and he said, "I'm not. Michigan's got this." And it was just like, yep, the GOAT has faith.
Yeah. I mean, he knows. there's an energy about the game of football where, you know, you can do analytics in basketball and shoot more threes and that's going to lead to wins. You know, you can do analytics in baseball but there's a different energy about the game of football and momentum matters and belief matters. And that's what I love so much about it. So I think Tom was tuned into that. And we obviously were tuned into it. Your belief becomes your reality, you know, and we sat there and we believed always we were going to win in every single game we played down to the last whistle. That was always our belief. And of course, you know, it became reality in that game too.
Well, let's look forward one last time to tomorrow, to Saturday's big game, 8 p.m. kick at the Big House. Prime time, got Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler on the call. Jake, what do you think is going to happen in this game? How do you think it's going to unfold?
So what I'm looking to see is Michigan, the defense, dominate Washington's offense. I'm looking to hold them to, you know, between 7 and 14 points, kind of stifle them. That's going to create momentum, but I think Washington's defense should be respected and shouldn't be undermined. So I don't think we're going to see 40, 50 points from the team, but I'm still looking to see, you know, four to five touchdowns, maybe a field goal in there. And I think we're going to have to run the ball to pass the ball, rely heavily on our backs. And then we're going to have to scheme open the receivers as we find out who's going to be our next Ronnie Bell, who's going to be the guy that we can count on when it's third and eight and the money's on the line. But, you know, anytime you can get the run game going and play good defense, it sounds boring. It sounds like 1980s football, but it still holds true. I think that's going to be Michigan's formula for success tomorrow.
All right. And I don't digress too much. I'm giving Washington, I think that they're going to be a little bit more proficient on the offensive side because I think that they're going to throw the book at Michigan because I think that they realize that they might have to, you know, they have to do a little bit of triage, you know, stop the bleeding if it wants to continue on. Not that the Pac-12 North looks particularly daunting so far from what we've seen, but I think that we'll probably see a little bit more from them. I actually wouldn't be surprised if we see things go the other way. And it was one of the mailbag question askers from yesterday that asked, do you think that we might see some really early play action? Because Washington's certainly going to be respecting the run based off of what they saw last week. Certainly, I think that's a strong possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if you see it right out the gates. But I do think that Michigan's defense, despite it just being one game that we saw, I think that it looked the part. I think we're going to see even more this week. I think that it's going to be a really good defensive performance by Michigan. Offensively, it's still going to be good. It's not going to be what we saw last week, like you said. But I'm interested in seeing how it all comes together. All right, final score predictions, Jake. What do you got?
I'm going to go 28-14 Michigan.
Oh, wow. Nice. Not only covering the spread, doubling it, because I think it's at 6.5. I'm going to be a little bit less bullish. I still have Michigan winning. I have 27 Michigan, 21 Washington. I think that they get a little something at the end to kind of make the score look a little bit more even, but I think that it will be a game that won't have been in question for at least a half. So...
Well, you got me last week in the score prediction. You're 1-0 in the score prediction right now. I'm hoping I'm right this week. I'm hoping it's a good, clean Michigan win, but we will see tomorrow night.
I think everyone hopes that you're more right on this one than me, for sure. Anyways, Jake, thank you for joining. I guess I don't know if I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be up in the press box, but hopefully we cross paths nonetheless. Everyone, thank you for joining. We'll have a special episode covering something tomorrow since, like I said yesterday, we didn't have a Wednesday episode. But look for that tomorrow morning on Saturday morning. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.